Good morning, church. How's everybody today? There we go. Good job. Much better. Good to see everybody today. It's good to have our visitors with us, and we're really glad you're here. Hang around for a little while afterwards so we can get to know you a little bit and get to talk to you. If there's anything we can do for you, that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other. Before we get started here, I want to recognize somebody. You know, this week it was posted out on Facebook that we needed somebody to fill in for the 2 through 5 year old class for today and a couple dates in September. And Caitlin Gooch responded to that, and she's agreed to teach for those dates. And I want to recognize her for that. I didn't make you stand, Caitlin, so don't get too mad at me. But I just think that's really cool when one of our young people steps up to do something. And, you know, our young people do so much, and we appreciate that. Appreciate your willingness. So encourage her with that. Our VBS, our Vacation Bible School theme this year was the power of small things. And we're going to keep the excitement of VBS going a few weeks by continuing to preach a series on small things. You know, small things, when used by God, have the ability to result in big things. And we've seen this time and time again. And the reality is, each of us have more access to small things, most of the time, than we do the big things. The question is, are we using those small things to make an impact for God? Now, money is not always easy to talk about. And it's not easy to talk about in the church. And it's definitely not easy to talk about standing up here. But money is a big deal in our world, right? And a lot of times as Christians, we're willing to say we'll give everything to God. But sometimes we want to hold on to our money, don't we? Because that's ours. We worked for it. We even justify it by saying we need it. Money has a lot of significance in our world today. A minister was talking one time about all the things that money can't buy. And he said, you know, money can't buy happiness. And money can't buy laughter. And money can't buy love. He stole that from the Beatles. And then he said, what would you say if I offered you $1,000 not to love your parents? And the congregation was quiet. And a little boy on the front row spoke up and he said, how much would you give me not to love my big sister? Money has a lot of significance in our world, but it can't buy the things that are important. You know, a lot of times in this world, we're belittled by other people, aren't we? People sometimes want to make us feel insignificant, or maybe they think somehow they're better than us, or maybe they're smarter than we are, or stronger than we are. And people make us feel like this sometimes. There's a professor named Tony Campolo, and he was in the Bible College at the University of Pennsylvania. And his wife, Peggy, was a stay-at-home mom. And Peggy would have to go to all these social engagements with her husband, all these dinners and events and galas, and she would inevitably be asked, what is it that you do? So Peggy had a response. She would say, I am socializing two Homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the theologically prescribed utopia inherent in the kingdom of God. Then she would ask, what is it that you do? And their response would always seem insignificant. We ask this question a lot. Am I significant? Do I matter? Does what I do matter? Well, we're going to look at those questions today in God's Word. And today's scripture, it's an event that happened during the last week of Jesus' life. And it's interesting that Mark takes the time to record it. Matthew doesn't, John doesn't, but Mark, a very succinct book and a very clear book, takes the time, as he's inspired by God, to include this story. And so there's a lot we can learn from it. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 41, reading through verse 45. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. I want to look at three simple points about significance. We're talking about the power of small things, right? And the first point is, significance may have a small audience. In verse 41, Jesus all alone is watching what this widow's doing, isn't he? He alone is seeing what she's doing. And then he calls his disciples over and he tells them what she's done. But Jesus was the only person in the entire world who knew and saw what this woman was doing. Only that woman and Jesus knew what she had just done by giving these two small copper coins. In the temple, there were 13 trumpet-shaped boxes for different kinds of offerings. And there would be a box for the destitute children. And there would be a box for the poor people. And there would be a box for the temple. And there would be all kinds of different boxes designating for those to give. And the wealthy religious folk, they wanted attention as they gave. And when they gave their offerings, people would oftentimes gather around and watch. And you could hear the coins, if they gave them, clanging down through these boxes. They wanted people to know what they were doing. But you know what? When the poor people gave, no one noticed. No one saw it. There were no trumpets blaring. There were no applauses when the poor gave. People didn't notice, and probably for the most part, they didn't care. But Jesus saw what this widow gave. And he called his disciples over, and he taught them a lesson from it. And we, in turn, as disciples today, can learn from this lesson. And one point is, significance may have a small audience. Jesus sees what we do. Amen? Jesus sees what we do. Now, that can be scary sometimes when maybe we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, or maybe we don't do something we know we should do. That can scare us, and there's fear there. But Jesus sees all the things we do when no one else does. Even if no one else notices a good work that you do, Jesus sees it, and he knows. Even if no one cares about the small things you do, because maybe the world sees it as being insignificant, when you do the right things, Jesus sees that. And he's watching, even when no one else will. 1 Corinthians 15:58, which Austin read for us this morning, tells us, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." I don't know about you guys, but I love this passage of Scripture. Because sometimes we believe Satan's lies that what we do just doesn't matter. You know, we didn't get the turnout we'd hoped for, so it doesn't matter. Who cares? But we are promised that when we work for the Lord, it's never in vain. It's never pointless. It's never meaningless. It matters to God, even if no other person will ever lay eyes upon it. That's a promise. And Galatians 6:9 tells us, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." What you plant will grow. And we do things to please God. And sometimes it's hard to do the right thing, isn't it? Sometimes doing things costs us, doesn't it? But you know what? The price of not doing the things that please God is a lot higher than doing the things that please him. And it's worth it to live, to do the right thing, no matter how hard it might be, and no matter how unnoticed it is by others. Your life may have a small audience. Your life may have an audience just in Jesus. But isn't he the most important audience we can have? Remember, significance may have a small audience. Now, little visual demonstration this morning. In my left hand, I have two small copper coins that are replicas of what the widow would have given that day. That's in my left hand. In my right hand, I have a $100 bill. Which is more significant? Left one? Any takers on the $100 bill? You don't... We didn't rehearse that, but thanks, Brian.
which is more significant? If you ask this question out in the world, what would people tell you? $100 bill. This isn't even real money. These aren't even pennies, right? So the $100 bill is what's significant in the world. But in the kingdom of God, is one of these more significant than the other? No, that's exactly right. So let's trudge on here. The second point this morning. Significance is not always found in abundance. Verse 42 tells us the widow gave how much? She gave two small coins. Now, when you look at the currency of the time and the things I've read, it looks like that these two coins she gave was about 1/16 of a soldier's pay. So the amount she gave would not have been a tremendous sacrifice for a soldier. But this woman wasn't a soldier. This woman wasn't a government employee with benefits. This woman was probably a housekeeper, probably a laborer of that kind. So her salary would have been a lot less than a soldier. And it's not like today, that back then was not like today, where you work 2 weeks and you get a paycheck for those 2 weeks, right? In these times, whatever you earned that day, and this would have been the equivalent to her daily wage as a housekeeper, these two coins that she would have worked for today is what she would have to use to eat on tonight. There wasn't a 401k, there wasn't a savings plan, there weren't CDs, right? That's all she had. And Jesus tells us in verse 44, she put in everything she had. All she had to live on. This was sacrifice, wasn't it? She gave till it hurt, and then she gave a little bit more. Sometimes we fall in the trap of giving just what we won't miss. Or maybe we give the things that it doesn't hurt us to go without. But the widow was different. She gave with real sacrifice. And Jesus commends her for that among his disciples. That's the economics of God's grace. You didn't know we were going to talk about economics here this morning, right? I taught that for one semester. I was hugely underqualified for that, but we got through it. But God's economics, the economics of God's grace, what God considers important is this. One lady putting in two small copper coins was worth more than a rich man who gave 1,000 times that amount. Now, I'm not being critical of large contributions. We're told in Scripture that when people are given a lot's demanded of them. And we give based on how we've prospered, as Ron said today. We've all prospered immeasurably from God and His grace. But the point here is, significance in the kingdom of God is not found by the amount of money put in, but in the amount of heart putting it in. Let me say that again. Significance in the kingdom of God is not found in the amount of money put in, but in the amount of heart putting it in. Jesus says, in other words, attitude is far more important than amount. A person can put in a little or a person can put in a whole lot, but God cares most about the mindset or the heart of the person giving it. Each and every person can be generous, whether you have a lot or almost nothing at all. Whatever you do, whoever you are, whatever you have, little is much if God is in it. There is power in small things. God doesn't keep track of the things we do, does he? Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad God doesn't keep track of the things we do? God's math is not our math. Significance is not always found in abundance. Oftentimes, significance is found in the small things, even when we're talking about money. Significance is often hidden by silence. We live in a world where everything we do is documented on social media, isn't it? I mean, if it's not on Facebook, then it didn't really happen, right? You didn't really have fun with your family if you didn't post a picture of it, right? Now, my mom is very wise in a lot of areas. She briefly had a Facebook account, and she no longer does. She hates Facebook. Now, a lot of good things happen on Facebook, right? We get to hear about prayer concerns and know who we need to pray for. We get updates on people. We see the good things that happen in our world. There's a lot of good on Facebook. There's a lot of bad, too, on Facebook. And I get wrapped up in that sometimes, and so do some of you, quite frankly, right? It happens. But my mom says, why do you post on there what you're doing? Does anybody really care? A lot of wisdom in her question. I think I changed the subject. But we live in a world where if it's not on Facebook, or if people don't know about it, then it's not really that significant. Often, though, significance is hidden by silence. Who did Jesus tell about this woman's offering? He told his disciples. But you know who he didn't tell? He didn't tell the woman. You ever thought about that? We never read of him going up to this woman and praising her for what she did. Sigmund Brewer, an author, writes this in his book. He says, we can only imagine how much his words might have helped her. A woman who faced the continual struggle of frugal, lonely days until death claimed her fragile body. Even as she passed within the distance of his voice, Jesus said nothing to relieve her of this desolation. In his wisdom, he knew what is easily forgotten by those who give for reasons other than simple faith. Faith marked by self-surrender, for her act was surely that, makes any burden light. With her focus on God instead of her own concerns, this poor widow had no need for an immediate reward. You see, God may never let you know the impact that your life has made on the lives of others. That's a reality. You may never know. He may give you a glimpse from time to time, and we may be blessed to see things here and there, but you will likely never know the full impact of your life, right? Matthew 10:42 says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. You see, God doesn't tell us this stuff on earth because he knows what pride can do to change our motives. You know, the fact is, we might do something a little bit differently if we know people are watching, don't we? We're human. That happens. And the longing to be approved of can even change the best or the purest of motives. But when we do things purely for the fact that they're the right things to do, we will not lose our heavenly reward for that. You cannot judge your significance based on how many people see what you do. You cannot judge your significance based on how much you can or can't give. And you can't judge your significance based on how much applause other people give you. God judges our significance. What do you do? Why do you do what you do? And for whom do you do it? Do we do it so other people see it and approve of it? Or are we doing it to glorify God? This widow in her offering knew no one would see what she was doing. She would get no applause. There would be no trumpets. There would be no clanging down through the box as her two coins traveled. The crowds would all be where the wealthy folk were giving. She gave because she was glorifying God. She didn't give for other people to see it. This church at Hurricane has been around for a long time. I don't know how long. Some of you probably do. I don't know how many lives this church has touched. And it's not important for me to know that. God keeps track far better than we do. He counts the things that don't show up on an attendance roll. He counts the things that don't make the church bulletin. He counts the things that don't end up in the collection plate. God knows our significance. And he doesn't keep track of the same things we do. Y'all like the movie It's a Wonderful Life? I love that movie. It drives Flindy crazy because it's like 7 hours long and she doesn't care for it, but I like it. In the movie, George Bailey is convinced that he's worth more dead than alive. And so he's contemplating ending it all. And that's when Clarence the Angel comes to George, and he takes George around and he shows George what this world would be like if George had never been born. And George sees that if it hadn't been for him, his brother would have drowned. And then he sees that if it hadn't been for him, then the pharmacist that he went to work for would have ended up in jail. and he sees a destroyed World War II aircraft carrier, and he sees that the town of Bedford Falls, if it hadn't been for George Bailey, would have fallen into a drunken, lonely, sin-infested town. Doing the right things over and over again, even though it cost George a lot, and even though it was frustrating to George, blessed the world far more than George Bailey had ever known. We don't know what this world would be like without us, but God does. God knows all the what might have beens. He knows all the people's lives you've touched and all the lives you're going to touch. Our significance cannot be seen with our physical eyes, but it's through the eyes of faith. We have to believe God rewards even what's done in private. Our significance is found in the fact that we're alive today and we are created in the image of God to do the good works He's already prepared for us. That's our significance. There were six people trapped in a deep, dark, cold cave. Each of them had one stick of wood, and the fire was just about to go out. The first woman refused to put her stick of wood into the fire because there were people in that circle she didn't like. The second person held on to his stick because there were people in that circle that didn't go to his church. A poor man refused to put his stick in because there were some rich people there and he didn't want to warm up the rich people. And the rich man said, I'm not going to give up my stick for the lazy poor people. And another person said, there are people not that are here that aren't from this country. They shouldn't even be here. I'm holding on to my stick. And another guy said, he was greedy. He said, I'm going to hold on to my stick till tomorrow night and then I'll use it to warm myself. That night, they all died. But they didn't die from the cold in the cave. They died from the cold in their hearts. Like this widow, we are called to love God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, and all of our strength. That might be money. It might be sticks. It might be cars. Who knows what it might be? It might be our time. But we are called to love God with all these things. Do we do it? Do we use our abilities and our gifts to serve God, to serve others? Or do we use them for ourselves? Let's pray this week that we all have hearts like this widow. You know, it would have been real easy for this widow to stay home and say, you know, I'm not going to go give today because I only have two small copper coins and that won't make a difference. That is insignificant. Wouldn't you say that when you look at two pennies? I would. But you know what? A lot of people gave a lot of money that day. Some of them gave 1,000 times probably what this widow gave. We're not talking about them today, are we? Jesus didn't teach his disciples about their gifts, but he's teaching us today about the small, seemingly insignificant gift that this widow gave because she gave all she had to live. She put it all in. Our challenge this week, may God help us love like this widow. May God help us give everything we have, even if it seems small. There's power in small things, amen? Significance might have a small audience. Significance may not always be found in abundance. And significance is often hidden in silence. But it is so important in the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian, God wants to save you. God wants to change your life. God wants you to leave here a baptized believer in Jesus with your sins washed away, with His Holy Spirit dwelling in you, so that you can walk outside those doors and know you have a home in heaven for eternity. God wants to give you that today. If you've never taken that step, don't wait another moment. There's no greater peace of mind that anyone, especially this world, can give you. But the peace of mind that comes from God, knowing Jesus Christ is busy working on your mansion over the hilltop. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you've fallen away, maybe you believe what you have is insignificant, so why bother? If you want the prayers of the church or encouragement from your brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. We're not here so we can get dressed up and sing songs and go to lunch. We're here to love on each other and encourage each other and to help each other. Because you know what? The thing about this life, Brother Berkland then used to say, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. But we all have the hope of eternal life with God the Father. Let's help each other get there. Let's love like that widow this week. If you have a need, come now as we stand and sing.